Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks podcast. It's the Point Forward podcast. We are back with you guys. It has been a minute. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward podcast, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski. He is the Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been all over the place. He was at Whistling Straits watching some Ryder Cup golf action, reporting for the Journal Sentinel, caught Coach Mike Budenholzer, among others, on hand, taking in the action. Michael Jordan was there, too. And, you know, Jim, I hope you've enjoyed this time off. You really went from Packer season to Bucks season. You basically had a year where you were covering stuff. And, you know, I feel like people forget this, Jim, but the Bucks won the 2021 NBA championship. Were you aware of this?
Yes, it's good to be back, JR. Yes, I am aware of it. And it's kind of crazy to think that they're already defending that title now at the start of training camp here this week. The second shortest offseason in NBA history following just last year. So yeah, it's I remember, but it feels like, you know, if you're Giannis, it's in the past. It's in the past now, JR.
Before we go any further, we want to hear from you guys, from the listeners, from the readers, a little bit about how you experienced the Bucks winning the NBA championship. July 20th, 2021, the Bucks hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. Giannis, of course, goes off for 50 points. Do you have any unusual stories about that night, or did you experience it in a way that was particularly unusual for you? Let us know. Give us a holler. You can find me at J.R. Radcliffe. That's J-R-R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F-E on Twitter. My direct messages are always open. You can hit up Jim Ozarski at Jim Ozarski, J-I-M-O-W-C-Z-A-R-S-K-I. Maybe you were overseas for some reason. Maybe you were with somebody that you didn't know, and now you're dating, something along those lines. You know, maybe you got tickets at the last second to get into Pfizer Forum to watch that game. Something just a little bit off the beaten path, not necessarily just in your house or at a sports bar. But if you have a particular story or know somebody with a particular story, please give us a holler. We're going to collect some of these stories for a project with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we'll appreciate your input. So give that a thought. It's been 2 months and 2 weeks since July 20th, 2021, when the Bucks were able to excite us all. It doesn't feel like we've had enough time to even, I don't know, celebrate it. But that's kind of silly to say with Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday going to the Olympics. We actually probably did get more attention on it than we maybe would have otherwise, because they had to continue their basketball journeys. I mean, it just, that's probably the first question I have for you. And you've gone through Bucks Media Day here this past week. The Bucks open up with their first preseason game on Tuesday already. I cannot believe that. This season has to look really weird, I would have to think. We haven't seen Giannis practicing. I don't know early on in the season how much they're going to push guys like Chris or Drew, who have had almost less time off than you have had, Jim Ozarski, in the last calendar year. I have to think that the Bucks have to ease off the throttle early, and I know that's probably going to make some people antsy or whatever, but just the way the calendar works, I feel like this season is going to start super, super slowly, just out of necessity. I don't know how they could have anything left, any juice left after, you know, especially for the guys who went to the Olympics. I mean, we're talking about a month and a half of rest here before the start of the next NBA basketball season. Do you have any sense, having been around this team now for the week and talking to the players and the coaches, how they might approach that? I'm sure they're not outright saying, but do you have a sense of how this is going to play out?
Well, I mean, yes, the fact that Giannis hasn't practiced, now granted, that's two practices in terms of 5-on-5. They did an individual session. You would think, you know, he shot free throws and maybe moved around a little bit. But the 5-on-5 thing, like, their first preseason game is just a few days from now. So, you're right. My thought is, the 5-on-5, it'll be kind of a gradual ramp up in conditioning. They're not going to punt on the season. You know, it's not like Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez aren't going to play, you know, 30 minutes or so, you know, to start the year, especially ring night, JR, against Brooklyn. Right. Oh, yeah. Like Giannis, you're going to tell me Giannis isn't going to play 38 minutes to try to win that game? I mean, if he's physically able to do so. So I think, you know, there's going to be a ramp up. And, you know, I think what's interesting, JR, is, you know, what did we talk about at the start of last year was the minutes, right? Like, oh, Mike Budenholzer didn't play these guys enough. And is he going to, well, they did. And now it's kind of going to come back, I think, a little bit, where you're going to see more of George Hill. You're going to see more Grayson Allen, you know, even Dante DiVincenzo when he's back. You're going to see Jordan Wara, I think, to a degree early on. So, yeah, I think they're not saying their plan, but I don't know how you can just say, okay, all you guys who are part of this championship run, you're just going to play, you know, 35 minutes a game at the outset. It just seems unreasonable and not really very smart.
Yeah, October 19th is that opener at home at Pfizer Forum on TNT against Brooklyn. Do you think Kevin Durant's shoe will get a ring?
maybe his big toe will.
His big toe definitely deserves a ring. That's going to be a custom fit, but they got to do it.
Right. He's, you know, I'll say this about KD. He has had nothing to do with the thought of like, well, if the, you know, Kyrie and James were healthy, like he has been given the Bucks nothing but credit, right? For, I don't know if Bucks fans have heard or caught clips of him speaking about that. But yeah, people have definitely asked him about it. Well, you guys are the favorites, you guys. And he is definitely, and to me, JR, that's the you know, a guy who's won rings and knows how hard it is to not sort of discount what the Bucks did. But yeah, that should be, that game one should be really, really, really something on a whole lot of levels.
Kevin Durant is so interesting. We don't even need to go down this rabbit hole, but he is so, I would say, enigmatic, but also like what you're describing there. He's also, I think, kind of charitable in ways he speaks and just, I don't know. He's so hard to pin down. There are some days I think he's a weirdo and some days I think he's just a really interesting, bright guy. You know, it's so hard to really, I don't know. He's interesting. And you're right. He's been very complimentary of the Bucks, which is cool. I mean, even in the immediate aftermath of that series, he was complimentary of the Bucks and he owned it, you know, like, yeah, my foot was on the line. Like, no, there's no if, there's no what if that happened. So, interesting guy. You kind of answered it that I would have asked if you thought Giannis would start playing right at the outset of the season. I mean, we don't forget, but like that injury he sustained wasn't just minor as Herculean as he was in the NBA finals. He still was dealing now with a knee issue that he's still dealing with. And I don't know what Dante's timetable is actually. I don't know if he's when exactly he might be due back, but I'd be curious about those two guys in particular. If you think you said it. You think that Giannis will be there on opening night, but what about Dante? When will those guys, you think, start hitting full stride?
Yeah, so start with Giannis. You know, he kind of made waves with an overseas interview where he said his knee was still hurting and he probably shouldn't have played in game one of the NBA Finals. And so, you know, he kind of joked on media day, hey, I'll play 5-on-5 today. But I'm going to be smart. And I think we learned that with Giannis last year, JR, with that 10, 12 days that he missed, you know, after that great performance in Portland with the other knee injury, right? Where he was like, okay, I'm going to shut it down because it's about finishing the year, not winning these games. So, you know, Mike Budenholzer would not say there's any fear of Giannis missing the start of the season. But he also wouldn't say, hey, he's going to practice 5-on-5 on Saturday, right? So there's I don't know how fans want to take that, right? Where it's, okay, well, if he can't go on 5-on-5 until October 8th, is he ready to play October 19th? Like, Giannis will, of course, say he is, right? I think his track record shows he could probably practice 2 days and give you 25 points and 15 rebounds, right? So I think it's true that they're not worried about him missing the start of the season, because I don't think he would miss that game unless the doctor said legitimately, you cannot play. This is a bad idea. Like, so I don't see that happening. But yeah, that's just something, JR, I think we're going to have to really monitor and see. And I think of all the players, he's the one that they're going to probably be the most cautious with and try to protect him from himself. Now, DiVincenzo, You know, that's another interesting one. I mean, look, he injured that ankle in the first round of the playoffs. He had surgery. He says he's doing court stuff. He's not in a brace. He's walking around. But he's also not doing 5-on-5. And he flat out said, you know, I'm not coming back until I am well beyond 100%, which is, look, he's in line for a rookie extension. That deadline's October 18th. We don't know what the Bucks cap situation, if they're going to do that. So while he'll be a restricted free agent, that's part of this too for him. You know, this is a big year, even as a restricted free agent. If he starts, let's say, 60 games, JR, and builds off of last year, he could get a good deal, right? Even from a team that's not the Bucks. So there's no timeline on him either. And I could see him and the Bucks also slow playing it. I think that's why Grayson Allen was acquired, to be quite honest. I think that's why George Hill was a consideration to sort of give them a little bit of a buffer with not just, you know, Drew Holiday having to ramp up, but even, you know, giving DiVincenzo a longer leash to sort of recover. And so that's a long way to say, I don't know a specific timeline, but they're definitely worth thinking about is, okay, we may not see the starting off guard for a while. And Giannis, we may be talking about him not practicing or not playing very much at the start of the season.
You mentioned Grayson Allen and George Hill. Those are a couple acquisitions that happened a long time ago. We actually haven't had a podcast since then. I would imagine one of them is the fifth starter, obviously, until DiVincenzo comes back, and that both of them are going to see significant minutes this year. There are a lot of new names, and we'll have to maybe just throw it out to discuss like which ones Bucks fans should really be paying attention to, guys that might actually have a significant role or at least a bench role, maybe not like significant bench role, but a role on the team going forward. But it seems like Grayson Allen and George Hill are kind of the two big ones, even though they came after the acquisitions of guys like Semi Ojeleye and Rodney Hood. But I'll be honest, I don't even know. There's so many names, and I'm still sort of like experiencing whiplash from the season beginning. I couldn't even tell you right now what the rotation looks like beyond the obvious, you know, the big three and Brook Lopez. It's kind of confusing. So is Grayson Allen your fifth starter, you think, out of the gate? Or like how are those, specifically Allen and Hill, how are those guys going to figure into these plans?
Yeah, okay. So I think, yes, to me, Grayson Allen's your starter. George Hill is 35 years old. Obviously, we know he's a solid locker room guy. I don't think he's at that point where could he spot start if Drew Holiday is going to have that rest day that we all know the starters are going to get? Sure. And I think in terms of the rotation, yes, that's going to be expanded to begin this year. Look, I think Mike Budenholzer did that to a degree last year. Remember, like, Sam Merrill played a lot early. DJ Wilson played a lot early. Thanasis played a lot early. You know, and I think they've experienced success with that. So we'll see it. Now, who are those players? I do think Grayson Allen is going to start. You know, Rodney Hood is your shooter off the bench, you know, and Semi Ojeleye. It's a little easy to say, oh, younger PJ Tucker replacement, but that's kind of the role. Like, the guy who could defend multiple positions, who can has a little bit of a three-point stroke, can go sit out there. You know, so he's coming off the bench to kind of fill that role as well. So there's not, now we're what, seven deep with Hood, with George Hill, excuse me, eight deep now, and Semi Ojeleye. I think Jordan Wara is going to play more. He's part of, I think, that mix. You know, I think Ojeleye and Hood probably replace Thanasis's initial minutes. You know, the Energizer Bunny's going to get out there, right, when they need that kind of that ultimate warrior push, you know, in the home game. Like, he's on the team. He's in the mix. I think the one rookie that may stick might be Yorgos Kalazakis. I'm going to have to work on that pronunciation. Largely because he's got some guaranteed money. He's a shooter. He's in the backcourt. Younger legs. I don't know. I think he's the one. I think Sandro Mamu, for short. I'm not even going to try to go there right now, JR. I think the front court's a little loaded. And look, he's already been promoting the Wisconsin Herd account. The Herd already, you know, social media messages with Sandro on it. He's on a two-way. So Sandro's going to be that guy that is going to kind of shuffle a little bit between, you know, Oshkosh and Milwaukee. You know, so, I, you know, that's not a rotation guy. That's an end of the bench guy. And really, that's kind of it. I mean, look, the rules are, look, Johnny O'Brien the third is back. You know, is he going to stick and be an Oshkosh? Maybe. Elijah Bryant, same kind of deal. Those are guys who really, JR, this team's in the luxury tax. Are they going to carry a full 15? Probably not, because John Horst is going to want that ability to make a trade or get a buyout guy. And when you're in the luxury tax, that cost is so much more money than it was a year ago, that are you really going to carry Johnny O'Brien the third as your 15th guy? No, like that, it just doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make roster sense. So Justin Robinson, Tremont Waters, you know, Javon Delorier. I mean, these are guys who, you know, we might be hearing about up in Oshkosh to a degree. Obviously, they're going to fill out the rest of that roster as well. So, yeah, I think it's your starting five with DiVincenzo not part of that. George Hill, Rodney Hood, you know, Yorgos is kind of the rookie. Jordan Wara, Semi Ojeleye, Thanasis. That's kind of your 10, 11. And, you know, that's how they'll kind of work it from there, in my opinion.
Yeah, we have to get reacquainted with the two-way, actually meaning two-way, you know, last right. year with the way it was. Those guys got to stay up all year, and with the Wisconsin Herd being back, everything is sort of, it's a different equation than it was for the last season. So that's why there's probably, as you mentioned, a lot of these names that are sort of getting thrown at the wall. A lot of them are just going to be, you know, mostly Wisconsin Herd players. The you mentioned very early on PJ Tucker there, and that's probably the biggest, I guess the biggest change from the run it back philosophy of this team to bring back pretty much everybody from the championship squad to the 2021-22 season. I don't know if you've had any time to read between the lines, maybe what happened with PJ Tucker. There seems to be some disappointment that he wasn't brought back. I think, you know, just conventional Occam's razor would tell you the Bucks thought they could probably get somebody for a much cheaper rate to do most or some of what PJ Tucker is capable of. And PJ Tucker's an aging veteran, and maybe they thought they kind of got everything out of him that they could get. But he'll be with Miami now, and you know, Miami's not a team to write off. That's a playoff caliber team. So that's going to be, PJ Tucker is going to appear in the Bucks orbit again during this next season. But as time has passed here, does that strike you any differently? Does it feel like maybe that could be considered a mistake down the road, or it simply was, you know, purely a financial consideration that kind of makes sense given what the Bucks cap situation is?
Yeah, I think, well, it's two different things. I think it could prove to be a mistake if Semi Ojeleye isn't the type of defense. Like, put it this way, if they're flipping Semi Ojeleye like they did Torrey Craig, and he can't play like Torrey Craig didn't play, and they don't turn that into the next PJ Tucker. Like, I think the mistake, I guess, determination comes at the end of 82 games, in my opinion, or the playoffs, right? Like, so I think we'll have to just, but to your other point, I mean, it is financial. This is 100%. Look, PJ Tucker, this is probably one of the last deals he's going to get at his age. It was a decent deal from Miami. Even if he was going to take a little less to come back, what was his tax bill going to be, JR? Like, it was going to be $10, $12 million in salary, I think is close to $30 million in actual money that this Bucks ownership group was going to have to pay out on top of it. So now PJ Tucker essentially became a $40 million player.
Yeah.
And that's, look, I understand that right now Bucks fans are going to be like, they're billionaires. And yes, they are billionaires. But billionaires don't become billionaires by spending their own money in that way. And so they made a cost-benefit analysis. Is PJ Tucker, at his age, his role, what they'd ask him to do, could he still do what he was asked to do, worth $40 million? I don't, even right now, JR, I can't say that would have been a smart decision. I mean, look, I'm on the record. I didn't know what he had left to begin with when they got him from Houston. And he proved to have everything and more that they needed. Could he sustain that through 82 games, through another 20 postseason games for $40 million? I don't blame them for that decision. It is financially driven. You know, we'll have to evaluate how he played in Miami, what he did in Miami, what the Bucks do. You know, that's something for down the line. But yeah, I that's obviously the one. You know, they made that move, and it was a huge move that helped them win a championship. So that, you know, in that vein, it's something to keep your finger on it, right? As it kind of beats through the year. But I don't really blame them for passing, and I don't blame him for going to a state with no income tax and for the Shoe King and all he does. Miami's probably a great fit for him in a lot of other ways as well.
Yeah, 100%. And let's not forget, like, PJ Tucker battled injury issues throughout the regular season. He was unquestionably one of the reasons they won the title in the playoffs. 16-game player, awesome stuff. But he struggled with injuries, and I mean, he's a veteran. He's been in the league 10 years. You know, this team, we talked, I think, briefly about Brooklyn. Like, one of the things that might stand in Brooklyn's way is that they're relying on aging superstars. And we saw that in the playoffs where guys like Kyrie and James Harden got hurt. Now, that could have been a freak thing, but, like, these guys aren't, you know, they're not bouncing back the way someone like Giannis might from, you know, from an injury. And the Bucks are kind of in that boat. I mean, Giannis obviously is a veteran who's still very young, but, you know, Drew Holiday, George Hill, they've been in this league, you know, double-digit years. Brook Lopez has been in the league just as long as George Hill. I think we all think of George Hill as kind of the elder statesman type, but Brook Lopez has been in the league the same number of years. So, like, they're already relying on guys who are, you know, for lack of a better term, aging stars. So they probably don't want to build their entire roster around that. They want to have some youth, some options, and, you know, in addition to just the money consideration, makes perfect sense. Like, the cost-benefit analysis, to me, it makes perfect sense. We'll see if it's the new Malcolm Brogdon, the retrospective, you know, hindsight move that that people are talking about a couple, you know, a few months from now when the Bucks are looking for that spark or edge. Where do you think that spark or edge comes from defensively? Because we've got guys, like you said, maybe Jordan Wara plays a little bit more, but we've kind of seen what he can do defensively. But that's the knock on Bobby Portis as well, who as great as he's been off the bench, defensively, you know, he's okay. The Bucks, maybe beyond Giannis, don't have that guy who can match up and really get in people's faces if they have to. I don't know if that's something they necessarily have to have, but who do you think maybe replaces that emotional, I don't know what you'd call it, that intangible emotional contribution that PJ Tucker was able to provide?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think that is replaced.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because, look, they were a decent... Look, they weren't historically great defensively last year as they started this run. They got better, and we talked about it, because it was all the things switching, man-to-man, all the new things, right? Not just doing drop, contest, this, that, and the other thing. So, and Tucker brought a different element there. I don't think that's replaced. I'll be honest. I haven't watched all of Semi Ojeleye's games in Boston. I know that he can defend. Bucks fans know that he can defend. Giannis remembers Semi Ojeleye in the wall, you know, in 17-18 when he was a rookie with the Celtics. So yeah, I you know, Bobby's gonna be Bobby. That's not gonna change. I think he'll be more comfortable defensively, which may think that's the other thing to remember is now this returning core is in year two of all this stuff.
Right.
So, you know, and Grayson Allen is, and he laughed on media day because, you know, he's been talked about as sort of this kind of fiery guy and bringing in, and he laughed. He's like, look, man, I was terrible on defense in college. Like, he's like, that was not what I was good at. And so he's gotten better. And but I don't think he's like Drew Holiday. Right. And he's not, I don't know if guard, I mean, maybe guards can bring that, but I don't, I mean, Grayson's going to be a bench player when DiVincenzo comes back. Like, so yeah, I don't think it's replaced, JR. I think it's more of a team defense, and it'll really be more, how do we see Mike Budenholzer deploy it? Does he kind of go back to some drop stuff, some zone stuff, let Giannis be that weak side helper? I mean, the block in the valley, right? The sun block, like that's quintessential Giannis help and recover. Right. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, George Hill's 35. Like, can he, what are you going to ask him to do? Right. So I think the emotional thing, TBD. And then even schematically, I think it'll be interesting to see how they work in, especially when they have like Rodney Hood's on the floor with Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton. Like, what's that going to look like? You know, I mean, to me, you're funneling, like you're going to funnel right to the big guy. And when you have that kind of combination out there. So, yeah, I think that's all. So we'll see. We'll see how that affects them, you know, when the season starts.
Mike Budenholzer got his extension since we last chatted. Saw that coming after the Bucks, of course, won the NBA title. Like I said, you got to hang out with him a little bit at Whistling Straits. I think for Bucks Twitter, there's so many pictures of him now smiling, which feels very counter Bud. but when you win, you get a lot of shots like that. So, just from the still photos, it feels like things are going to be a little more relaxed for him, and maybe personally, although we obviously have no way of knowing. Do you think anything changes as coaching goes? I mean, you're talking about all these changes that he implemented. Will there be new wrinkles, or do you think they just kind of, I don't know, stick with what works?
I think it's going to be sticking with what worked. I mean, of course, there's always
little ones.
Little ones. I mean, I would say, JR, last year in retrospect was a pretty big overhaul, right? I mean, to add in the dunker spot, to try to break down the wall for Giannis, you know, the corner threes with PJ Tucker, and realizing, wait a minute, that's like a thing we need. And then we mentioned some of the defensive changes. I think they're hoping to build on that going forward. I mean, that's what Drew Holiday wants to do. I think, you know, when DiVincenzo comes back, he's very good at that as well. So yeah, I think for Budenholzer, it's okay. Last year was the overhaul. Everyone's learning. Now, Bobby Portis came out and said he's far more comfortable understanding what's happening defensively. I would expect that he then performs a little better defensively, right? Because you're not sort of in this new adjustment kind of thing. And maybe you're not asking him to drop. Like, remember, JR, that was the thing. Like, early last year, they're asking him to do this thing that he wasn't comfortable with. So they found out later, okay, when he's out there, let's not do that. Well, that experimentation's kind of gone now, right? You would think. So, yeah, I think it's kind of the same stuff building off a year ago. Although I will say this for Bucks fans, I don't really expect Mike Budenholzer to, like, suddenly have jokes, you know, like he may be more confident and comfortable in his position. You know, an extra 3 years on the deal, we'll do that for you. But, yeah, I don't think he's, you know, going to be out there being a different guy. I think that part will stay the same with, I think the memes, we'll see the memes, JR, the gifts of Bud on the sideline. I think, you know, That'll probably stick around a bit.
Yes. Yes. He is very gift worthy. We throw it back a little bit. We've thrown around some names. You mentioned maybe Jordan Wara is going to have a greater role. Any of these guys that are below the surface that you are particularly intrigued by? I know that, you know, there's enough. You can rattle off the top few names on this team, and that's probably going to be the majority of the guys that are there on the floor in big moments. But any of these guys, the two-way guys, or these sort of like small contracts that particularly intrigue you?
Not initially, because look, last year at this time, JR, was all about DJ Wilson, right? DJ Wilson had a great camp. He was rewarded for that with early playing time, and then, you know, whatever happened, it quickly kind of fell out of rotation there. I think for me, look, this is a championship team with title defense aspirations. So this is like we talked about last year. If Sam Merrill was going to play a bunch, things went really wrong. You know, that's the same. Like, if Yorgos is playing a bunch, like, there's a problem. And it has nothing to do with Yorgos. It's because, you know, Jrue Holiday got really hurt or Chris Middleton got, like, that's an issue. So
we are going to have to learn how to say both Sandro and Yorgos' last name. It's going to be tough.
You would think as an Ozarski, I would be, I am very empathetic to them, and I will get that right.
It took us years to get Adetokounmpo right, to be honest. So we're behind here.
Wara, I hesitate to jump into the Bucks Twitter on that of like, he should start. No. He's a second-year player, second-round draft pick who has an NBA skill set of scoring the basketball. He, you know, is his body big enough? Is his defense capable enough? These are the questions we don't know. I guess what I can say is, you know, is he going to challenge Rodney Hood? You know, Rodney Hood's in his, what, eighth year out of Duke. You know, they're both 6'8". War is a little bigger body. I could see maybe that's what do we see there, right? They signed Rodney Hood for a reason to shoot threes. Is Jordan Ware comfortable in that role? Can he do that role? Maybe that's the one where you could see a current young guy push a veteran to see. But it's always – you always got to keep that in mind as a Bucks fan now at this current state of the franchise. Second-year player, second-round draft pick, championship team. Those things don't go together when it comes for playing time and impact. So it's really on is Jordan – and we'll see. And look, he's going to play in this preseason. He might drop 30 on Memphis in the preseason opener. Everyone's getting all excited. You know, it's all in context. But he's really the only one I can see because, again – if Sandro is up playing, that means Brook Lopez or Bobby Portis or Giannis Antetokounmpo, something happened to them, right? So that's the context and the lens that I'll remind Bucks fans again, kind of where they were a year ago. That's still where they are this season.
Yeah. Understandably, the Nets are the team everyone's looking at. Now, I think I've said, many people have said, the Nets are kind of their own worst enemy if they have those personalities can't get along. And now already preseason, we've seen some issues. Kyrie's vaccine hesitancy could potentially put a thorn in what they're trying to do initially. And there's a lot to work through there. But tell me if this is pessimistic. I just can't imagine the Bucks doing this again this year because of the quick turnaround, because they're relying on an aging roster, because the Nets are what they are. And you know, maybe that's just the talking from a place where, you know, the Brewers and Packers are both, you know, very interesting junctures of their season. So there's a lot of enthusiasm elsewhere. This team won the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Like, you don't have to win three or four in a row to be remembered forever. They will be remembered forever. I just can't imagine this team doing that at this juncture. And obviously I'm willing to be swayed. And once we see them play basketball, maybe it'll be apparent to me that they are at that level. But what's your vibe on that? I mean, is that just ridiculously pessimistic? They obviously have a guy who could be considered the best player in the NBA and several other top flight players. But as you try to look out at the whole landscape of the Eastern Conference, the NBA in general this year, what are you thinking?
Yeah, off just off the cuff and seeing everything. Yeah, I find it hard to believe that they will repeat. And what's interesting, though, is that is not the expectation of the building. I mean, ownership, you know, is cutting a luxury tax check, fairly big ones for the next couple of years. And I think one of them said, hey, it's, you know, you look at, you know, NBA teams have repeated in recent history, and that's not wrong. I mean, the Warriors did, three out of four and lost one. The Heat went back to back. The Lakers go back to 9-10. Lakers again at the turn of the century. But as Mike Budenholzer later said, well, all the Spurs teams he was a part of never repeated. So he's trying to figure out, you know, how to crack that code, right? And look, the Lakers, we saw what happened to them. They all broke down physically last year. Will the Bucks? I don't know. You would think there's a little bit of stacking of short off seasons and issues, but every team is dealing with that. But I look, there hasn't been a, it's been Toronto, the Lakers, and the Bucks. You know, we haven't seen any of those, you know, the previous finals contestants, you know, back again since then. So, can they do it? Sure. I think they're set up that way. You're right, because they have Giannis. Chris Middleton's 30, Drew Holiday's 31. I think they manage Brooke Lopez the right way. But yeah, it just feels like the East is not LeBron's East. You know, there's real challenges in the conference, even if everyone's healthy. Because I don't think Atlanta's just going to go away.
No, sure.
You know, they're going to be a problem in a seven-game series. You know, clearly Brooklyn is. So, yeah, JR, I can't sit here and say they're going to win the championship. I was on record with you last year that they would lose to Brooklyn. And then things happened in that series that changed that trajectory, and the Bucks took advantage and won. You know, I know Philadelphia right now is kind of a dumpster fire, but I'm not going to – I assume health. Joel Embiid, if that's healthy, he's going to get MVP votes again. Like, that's not that's not a thing that's just going to fall totally by the wayside, in my opinion, at least right now. So, Indiana's got a new coach. There's going to be some challenges along the way. So I don't think you're pessimistic. I think it's acknowledging that the East is a real conference and the Bucks are going to have their work cut out for them in order to get through it again.
Yeah, I am in fact counting on injuries for Philadelphia. Joel Embiid's health is always an issue, and that turmoil is just too constant for me. But so I haven't even been thinking about Philadelphia, to be honest, which is probably unfair given that they were the top seed in the East last year. But he is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He and I will be getting back into the podcasting groove here again, October 19th, that first game at home against the Brooklyn Nets. We'll see if they get a ring for Kevin shoe. Maybe they just give him a gold shoe. What do you think? I feel like that would be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I don't think they're that trolly. You know, I think the Bucks social media is can be on point sometimes, but I think when you're the champ, you don't punch down.
You're right.
You know, I think all these other teams can kind of go back and forth with one another, subtweet their own players, you know, maybe like the 76ers may be doing. But I think if you're the Bucks, you are very gracious and you say, we are the champs, and sort of let the Nets soak all that in as they stand there and watch that happen.
That is both disappointing and absolutely correct. You're absolutely right. So we will we'll be talking probably before that game gets going, certainly, as we look at some of these preseason games. Memphis, Tuesday already. My gosh, Tuesday. The Milwaukee Bucks will be on the court less than 2 months after they officially won the 2021 NBA championship. Jim, thanks for joining us. We will talk again soon.
That sounds good, buddy. Talk to you then.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. We'll be back on a regular basis this starting this month. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.